Rishas Rabbi Kron, we are on Lamed Vav Amid Aleph by the first set of two dots, which is, I don't know, six lines from the top, and it says, it starts with Hamama'enes Ein Leknas Lopitur. So let's just review some things, some concepts overall. So let's talk about the typical, it's called the growth pattern of a girl. Typically, and from a halachic perspective, from when a girl is born until she is 12 years old, she is considered a katana. From the period of time that she is 12 and grows two hairs, or shnei saros, until the period of time that she's 12 and a half, she is considered a nara. And then from the period of time that she's 12 and a half and up, she's considered a bogeris or a gadola. And each of those periods of time has significance from a halachic perspective. The other variable that's in there is that from a position of being a basula or not, or having basulim, you know, the physical concept of having basulim, there's this period of time from when they're born until they're 3 years old, where from a halachic perspective, even if something happens in that regard, it's considered to be something that grows back, and therefore nothing really counts before the age of 3 years old. And then from the period of time when, after that 12 and a half, when they're a bogeris, whatever this means, it's referred to as a kind of the basulim sort of wears away, sort of diminishes. So it's, there's a little bit of a different status. So that period of time of being a nara between 12 and 12 and a half is very significant. And, you know, our everything we've been talking about over the last 7 weeks in this perek is mostly about, you know, the period of time of being a nara. And we started off with all these things where you either get a fine or don't get a fine. It was very specific about being a nara. And our Mishnah, there was a machlokes way back then about, does this apply to a katana also, or only for a nara? And we generally felt it was a nara. So yesterday we started a bereisa, and the bereisa basically said a few things. It said that there that it said arayos or shnius larayos. Well, you know what, some, you know, whatever this, these concepts were about being in these forbidden relationships, there is no knas. And there is no pitoy. Pitoy is when there's, so knas is typically when there is rape or ones, and pitoy is when there is this concept of seduction. And then it said hamema'enes, someone who does miyun, there is no knas and no pitoy, and an alienist, someone who is in that status. So we'll define both of these terms. There's no knas and no pitoy, and then hayotzes mishum shemra, ela knas lo pitoy. So what do those things mean? It'll just take a minute before we go into it. Mima'enes miyun, just to remind ourselves, is that when a young girl, if her father dies, then the brother and the mother have the right to marry her off, and that marriage is only considered like a rabbinic temporary marriage. At any point, at least while the girl's a katana, she could say, I don't want to remain married, and it is retroactively annulled. It's as if it never happened, so it's not really considered a valid marriage. That's the concept of miyun. An alienist is a girl who grows up but does not develop physical maturity, so she's not able to have children. And then the third concept, which we'll talk about a little bit later on, hayotzes mishum shemra, is a girl that leaves because she develops a bad reputation. In other words, people say that she did something bad, and therefore she has to separate herself from her husband. We'll get into a little bit more about that. So right now we're starting at the two dots. We talked about hamema'enes. So this is again quoting the bereisa. Hamema'enes, a girl who does miyun, ein lo knas lo pitoy. She's not. So after she leaves her the husband that was arranged by her mother, her brother, after that point, if there's ones or pitoy, she's not eligible for a not eligible for these fines. And the, you know, ostensibly this is because she's not a basula anymore, because she was married, even though the marriage was annulled. You know, technically you can't say that physically she wasn't her basulim wasn't impacted. So the Gemara discusses this and says, "Hai ktana ba'alma isle." So here we're talking about if a girl goes through miyun. We're saying if she goes through miyun, meaning she was married and then rejects it, she doesn't get this fine. But that means that other katanim, other girls that are under 12, if they did have, God forbid, onus or pitoy, they would be eligible for a fine, for a knas. So Mani, who teaches us this? This must be Rabbanani. Why? The Amrak Tana yesh la knas. They must say that a katana is eligible for a knas. If you remember, our Mishnah is not talking about a katana; it's talking about a nara. And there was a whole discussion in there about, there was different opinions about whether this applied to a katana or only to a nara. So it must be the Rabbanan, because the Rabbanan were the ones who said that a katana can also get a knas. But Eima Seifa. But then the next part of the Bereisa that we just learned says Eilanus ein la knas vel pitoy, and Eilanus doesn't get a knas and doesn't get a pitoy, and that us of a Rabbi Meir, and that must follow Rabbi Meir. Why? Why do we say that? The Amar Katana ein la knas. That Rabbi Meir, back from our Mishnah, is one who says that a katana doesn't get a knas. Only a nara gets a knas. And Baha Mikatunte Yasalavagar. And this girl who is an alienist never went through this status of becoming a nara. She was a katana, and now she's grown up, and she never developed. Think of naras as kind of going through puberty, and she never had that period of time when she went through puberty. She was a katana, and now she's an adult. So she never had that period of naras. And then according to Rabbi Meir, the only way you only period of time that you're eligible for the fine is during when you're a nara, and this girl never went through naras. So therefore, we might be thinking that the reisha, where we're talking about a katana, is derabanan, and the seifa, where we're talking about an alienus, is Rabbi Meir. So we have two different people within the same two different camps within the same bereisa. So maybe that's the answer, or maybe not. Vichitema kuli Rabbi Meir. Maybe what we're talking about here is that both cases is Rabbi Meir. We know what does Rabbi Meir say? A katana does not get a knas, is not eligible for a fine. Umma'enes, but when it comes to Umma'enes, right, where we specifically called it out, Sarvale k'Rabbi Yehuda. He holds like Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yehuda must say that this is something different, and we'll talk about what Rabbi Yehuda says. Umi Sarvale, does Rabbi Meir really hold like Rabbi Yehuda? Vatanya, we learned in a different Braisa. Ad Masai Habas Umma'enes. Until when can a girl say that she wants to do Mion? Until she gets to the two hairs, meaning until she becomes a nara. So as long as she's a katana, she could do mion. When she's a nara, she can no longer do mion. Divrei Rabbi Meir.
Mion is when she says, I don't
want to
be
mion is like, I'm 11 years old, I don't want to be married anymore.
Okay, she wants to walk.
She wants out, and she can annul the marriage. The marriage is as if it never happened. However, theoretically, she had, she lived with this man for whatever number of years, so she can no longer be considered a basula. So Rabbi Meir says that the period of time where she can say, I'm out, is until she is a nara. And because Rabbi Meir says there is no knas when she is a katana, only when she's a nara, that's why he would say the Mama Enes doesn't get a knas. That's what Rabbi Meir says. However, Rabbi Yehuda, what does he say? Achiyir b'shachar al-lavan. Until, and this is kind of a euphemism for saying until she grows many more hairs. Meaning until she's clearly more than just a nara, until she's, through the period of time being a nara. So Rabbi Yehuda would hold that she could continue to reject the marriage until she is a gadola. So therefore, we can't say that Rabbi Meir holds like Rabbi Yehuda when it comes to Mion, because we just said when it comes to Mion, Rabbi Meir says until she gets two hairs. And Rabbi Yehuda says until she's, much more significantly developed. So we can't say that it's all Rabbi Meir. El Rabbi Yehuda, maybe that we could say that the Bereisa follows Rabbi Yehuda. With a katana, Sarver Leker Rabbi Meir. When it comes to a katana, Rabbi Meir holds like Rabbi Yehuda holds like Rabbi Meir, kind of the reverse. Rabbi Yehuda holds like Rabbi Meir when it comes to a katana, that when she's a katana, she's not eligible for the fine. But when it comes to Mion, he would allow her to do Mion until she is a nara. umisa rele, and does Rabbi Yehuda really hold that way? Bahama Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, zo divrei Rabbi Meir. This is what Rabbi Meir says. And you know, basically the opinion of Rabbi Meir. He doesn't, but Isa, and if it was true that Rabbi Yehuda held like Rabbi Meir that a katana does not get a knas, it would say zo divrei Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda mivayle. It would have quoted both Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. So the fact that it's quoting Rabbi Meir implies that he has a different view than Rabbi Yehuda. So you can't say that Rabbi Yehuda holds like Rabbi Meir. So we're going to try something else. Ha, Tana Sarvalek, Rabbi Meir Bechana. We're talking about a third person, a third Tana. So we have a different Tana that in one case he holds like Rabbi Meir. Upaligale Bechada. And he disagrees with Rabbi Meir in the other case. And Rafram Amar, another option. My Mima Enes, what does it mean when it says Mima Enes? When in our Baraisa it says someone who does Mion doesn't get a Knas, means Hara'ui L'Mayin. It doesn't mean that it's actually a girl who goes through Mion. It means a girl who's of the age that in theory she could be going through Mion. In other words, she's a Katana, right? It's just using this different roundabout language to say she's a Katana, meaning she's the age where she, if she had been married up by her brother, she could have done Mion, but it's not. It's not that she did it. It's just a way of saying that she's a Katana. So the Gemara asks, well, listen, Katana, why are you doing this? You know, why are you saying it this way? Just say it outright. Say Katana. Gemara concedes and says Kasha, ends up with that. So continuing in the Bereisa, Elinus, Ela Knas Vilapitoi. So we next said that an Elinus, again, this girl who never developed physically, you know, she never matured to the point that she could have children. So if she's, God forbid, raped or seduced, she doesn't get a Knas. Uraminu, we have a contradiction. What is the contradiction? The Bereisa says, Hachareshes, a woman who is a deaf mute. V'hashote, or one who does not have mental capabilities, v'ha'elinus, and an elinus, yesh lahem knas. It says they do get a knas. V'yesh lahem tanis besulim. And when they get married, or if they get married, the man who marries them can claim that if he was under the impression that she was a besula before she got married. If you remember, on the wedding night, this is kind of how the whole Masechta started. On the wedding night, if he can come back and say she wasn't a basula, and therefore I shouldn't have to pay her ksuba, and there's that whole process we went through, a long time ago. And so when it comes to these three categories, hachareshes, hashoten, and elinus, number one, if they're raped, they get out. They're eligible to get a fine, and number two, their husband is allowed to claim against them that they weren't a basula. V'hai my rumia, and what is the contradiction? Ha Rabbi Meir. This means that an alienist shouldn't get a fine according to the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Ha Rabbanan. But this Bereisa that gives it to her is really the opinion of the Rabbanan. Maybe this isn't a contradiction. It's just saying that there's one Bereisa that says the alienist doesn't get a knas is following the Rabbanan, and one that says she doesn't get a knas is following Rabbi Meir. Maybe it's not really a contradiction. Udaka Akre Le, and the person who asked this question, Maikari, what is he really trying to find out? Mishum de Isla Lamirma Achrisa Alisa. He has a different Bereisa that he wants to ask the question of. So what is really his question? Hachareshes v'ashote v'habogeres umukas eitz. These four categories. Hachareshes, again, is a deaf mute. V'ashote is someone who does not have mental capabilities. A bogeres, like we said, is someone who is above 12 and a half, so she's an adult. Umukas eitz is a woman who had a physical injury that caused her to lose her basulim. Ein la tanis basulim. All four of these people, when the husband marries her, he cannot claim that he thought that she was a basula and found out on their wedding night that she wasn't a basula. However, Hasuma, a woman who's blind, the alienist, and a woman who is an alienist, Yeshlem Tanis Basulim. They do have the Tanis Basulim. And Sumkas Omer, Bishurm Rabbi Meir, he says in the name of Rabbi Meir, Suma, when it comes to a blind woman, Ainla Tanis Basulim. So he doesn't include the alienist. He only is talking about the blind person. So therefore, So therefore, you have this differences between the Baraisas about what you do when it comes to the deaf woman or the woman who has doesn't have her mental capabilities. So Amar Rav Sheshes Lo Kasha, it's not a problem. Ha Rabbi Gamliel, the Ha Rabbi Yoshua. So here we're going back to what we talked about on Daf Yud Beis. And on Daf Yud Beis, we talked about, again, this comes to the concept of Tanis Basulim, where the husband claims that she wasn't a virgin. And the wife is able to say, well, what happened here is that after we were engaged, I was raped, if you remember that concept. And the question was, do you believe her or do you not believe her? And that's where we had, you know, we went back and forth on this for a long time. And basically the opinions were that Rabbi Gamliel ultimately said, you believe the woman. And Rabbi Yoshua said, you do not believe the woman. So if the woman says, yes, I'm not a basula, but the reason I'm not a basula is after we were engaged, halachically engaged, then I was raped during that period of time. So Rabbi Gamliel says, you believe her. And Rabbi Yoshua says, you do not believe her. So the Gemara questions this. Imer de shamet leu Rabbi Gamliel. Would you say that so Rabbi Gamliel said the woman has to claim that this happened? Hecha de katana hiu, how can she claim when this happened? Meaning, she's a kleiresh, she's a deaf mute, she can't state anything that happened to her. Hecha de lo ka katana ihu, mi shamatle. So how could she have said this? Our answer is, hey, and this is really the opinion of Rabbi Gamliel that you would believe her. Meaning, Kevin, I'm a Rabbi Gamliel, mehemna, kagon ze psach picha atle ilamhu. That when the woman is unable to speak on her behalf, others are able to speak up on her behalf. Meaning that others, or the bezin, or whomever, can say on her behalf what happened. But bottom line, if what she's saying, or if others are saying on her behalf, that what happened is that she was raped. She says, I was raped after we were engaged, and that's the opinion of Rabbi Gamliel.
How would these others know that? They have witnesses, or they have some way of...
Some way of knowing.
A person who can't talk.
She can't talk, but some way they're able to...
Get it out of her.
Some way they're able to figure out and represent her, is kind of what it's saying. So that's the question, right? Your question is the question of, how can you say that Rabbi Gamliel would say this? Because the only reason, if you go all the way back to Yud Beis, it's always that you believe the woman because either she could have said something different or something better, etc. And here she can't speak. So, you know, they ultimately discard that disagreement by saying someone is representing her and speaking on her behalf. Habogeres ein la tanas psulim. And when it comes to a bogeres, we say she does not have Tanis Basulim, and again, a Bogaris is a girl who's over 12 and a half. And the ostensible reason is that you would say that once she becomes 12 and a half, naturally her Basulim wears away. So in theory, you can say that there's no Tanis Basulim because maybe she's not going to bleed as a result of the relations because her Basulim has worn away. Well, I'm a Rav, but we have a contradiction to this. Rav says, Bogaris no simla laila rishon. When it comes to a Bogaris, if she is a basula, even if she has, she bleeds that night, you give her the entire first night to remain with her husband. You assume that it's all part of the same, initial relations, and that any blood that you might see is all related to that, and therefore she's allowed to remain with her husband the first night. Even though she's a bogeres, the implication here is that there is blood. There must have been basulum of some form. And about if the husband comes along and says, wait, there was no basulim here, right? He's making a claim against him. Hachinami. Maybe how could he be making a claim against her? Because maybe his claim could be valid, because maybe what he's saying is, hey, you know, you can't say because she was a bogeres, there was no bleeding. When we have this other statement of Rav that we allow her to remain the whole night because the bleeding that will happen is a result of the relation. So even though she might be a bogeres and have reduced basulim, there still is some level of basulim here. Hachla Mayaskinen, what are we talking about here? The Katanin Tanis Pesach Basuach. This goes all the way back to the beginning of Kesubas. And we said it's not that the reason he's saying is because of not finding blood, but he says that she had already been opened. In other words, that he's able to sense that she's not a basula anymore physically. She should have been tighter or felt differently if she was actually a basula. And he's saying that's the way he knows that she's not a basula. So it's nothing to do with the blood. It has to do with the her physical state right now. Sumka summer mishum Rabbi Meir. He says the name of Rabbi Meir. Suma ein la tanas basulim. A blind woman, you can't make a tanas basulim against her. Why? My time of the sumkas. What's his reason? I'm a Rabbi Zeira. Mishum shenichbet al garbi karka. Because a blind girl falls down frequently. And because she falls down frequently, she's prone to injuring herself and causing her basulim to be impacted. Kule nami chavike mikabite. You know, all young girls fall down all the time. So there's a possibility with any girl that they could fall down and injure themselves and impact a basulim. The answer is kula roos amarsal imayin. When it comes to a girl with sight, she'll see that she's bleeding and she'll show her mother and she'll tell her about it. Zo eino roev eino marlama ima. But a girl who's blind, she's not aware of it, she doesn't see it, and she's not going to tell her mother about it. And therefore, she might not even know that this happened. So that's the difference there. Vayotzes mishum shemra. This goes to the next piece of the Bereisa. This is a girl who leaves because she has a bad name, a bad reputation. Eila knas v'lo pitoy. She does not get the knas, and she doesn't get the pitoy for seduction. Hayotzes mishum shemra baskilahi. If she did something bad, if she cheated on her husband, and as a result, she would, you know, you can't just do that. You're a chayav misa. If a woman has relations outside of marriage, she's chayav misa. So how could it be a situation like this where you'd even have to talk about a knas or a pitoy? There should be no consideration. We know that if she's subject to the to death penalty, she's not going to get this. Rav Sheshi's hachi kamar. What the Bryce is actually saying. She grew up with a bad reputation. So, she had this reputation growing up that she was promiscuous. And as a result, because she grew up with this reputation, she's not eligible for a knas or a pitoy. And Amara Papa, Shmamina, Haishtara, Ria, Lo Magavinle. And he says, similar to the concept of the girl growing up with a bad reputation, is when you have a loan document that has a bad reputation about it. Meaning that there are people who are saying, you know, this document was forged, or the witnesses were bad, or whatever it is, that maybe it's a similar concept. You have a girl with a bad reputation, and you have a loan document with a bad reputation.
Yeah, I have a question.
Yeah.
Just to go back to that line of group. First it said a girl would get skewed. Then said, no, she grew up with a bad reputation. How
right.
How did it change things?
In other words, she had a bad reputation, meaning that the reputation was that she cheated after marriage.
As opposed to before she
was married, she had a bad reputation. So because she had a bad reputation, you assume coming into the marriage that she was not a basula.
Oh, I see. Okay, so she was not a basula.
You assume, all right, you know, she could say all she wants, she's a basula, but everybody knows she's the girl that hangs out on the corner.
It didn't happen after you married.
Right. You know, if you're going to marry this girl, she has the reputation. And you can't, don't come back to us later and say you didn't know what she was all about.
You knew,
right?
Okay.
We're talking about a case where the witnesses actually came and testified.
They say that she's doing.
Okay. It's not hearsay.
Is it hearsay or is it not hearsay? They're not. What are they testifying about? They're testifying that she's hanging out with all the boys. They're not testifying that they saw her necessarily do something.
Okay.
That's right. She just has that bad reputation. Hechidami. What are we talking about here? And this is sort of what Michael is saying, or this is what we're talking about. And we're trying to contrast whether the girl and the loan document are the same thing. If there was a rumor about it, the shtar de zayfahu, that we have this document, there's a rumor about it, that this document was forged. The kavate hachad nafek alei kalei dezaneh. So therefore, you would say it's similar to the rumor that this girl had relations beforehand. So again, it's not people testifying, but it's more of a rumor. So are you going to say that just like the document, there's a rumor about it, and the girl has a rumor about it? The Hamar Rabba, this is what Rabba says. Yatzala shame mizane ba'ir. If a girl has a reputation as being this promiscuous woman, ain choshes shalah. You don't pay attention to it. You don't follow it. You don't listen to the rumor. Ela da achube treiv armei. But we're talking about what Michael just said, where you have two men who came forward and they said, Lididiyu Tavanayu Biyashura. She came up to us and she solicited us. She, you know, she kind of, you know, came to us to try to do something promiscuous. The Chavate Hacha. And you might say that similar when it comes to the loan, that the Asibe Trev Amri, there are two people that came and they said, Lididiyu Amri Le Zafale. Two people came up to us and they said, hey, could you forge this loan document for us? That's why you're trying to say that these two are similar, where there's a rumor about it, where people come up and say either the girl solicited us or some people tried to get us to sign falsely on this document. Bishla Mahasam, are these? Can you really compare these two? Shlichi Perutzin. Because there are, somewhere out there, there are promiscuous men, that if she's going out and trying to solicit men to have, you know, illicit relationships with her, she's going to find someone to play along, and therefore you can assume that maybe she did something inappropriate. Elahacha, when it comes to a loan document, imu huchsak, you know, do we know deliberately that there was somebody who would, just because they come up to you and they tried to get false witnesses to sign it, do you know that someone ultimately did? Klal Yisrael mi yichzukuk, are establishing that within all of Klal Yisrael that there must have been somebody that played along. Hachinami, Kevan de Kamahadir Ifse, since we know that he was going around looking for someone to forge it, Amar Ziv Zayv Kasav. He knows that eventually he found someone to play along. So just like with the woman where she say, you know, say that she's promiscuous, eventually she'll find the guy that's more willing to be promiscuous with her. Similarly, you can say that if she, you know, if these people tried hard enough, they would find someone who would play along and sign it falsely. So with this we'll stop, and Mirza Shem, Rabbi Kron will pick up again tomorrow. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.